Hello and welcome back to New Every Day. My name is Carrie and Jen is away again this week. She's actually doing camp ministry in central Canada. And we have Carmen Van Essen back with us this week to talk more about mental illness and Jesus and how the Lord fits into that whole picture. So stay tuned, it's coming up.
Skills, now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative, and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Welcome back to our 20th episode of New Every Day. I can't believe it's already been 20 episodes. Thanks so much for those of you who have been faithfully tuning in. It's just been such a wonderful experience. I feel like I learn something new every time I do a show, and I know that Jen says the same, and I sure have learned a lot from you, Carmen, so thanks so much for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
It was awesome to hear your story and what God's doing. Last week, Carmen shared about her story, struggling with mental illness, in particular obsessive compulsive disorder, and how God brought her through that, and she also sought professional help, and He's brought her to where she is today, and she's such a wonderful person. I wish you could meet her in person. She's just so lovely. Carmen, I was just sharing with her that having her here, and I just thought of this before we came on, God answered my prayer in having her come here because I work in emergency department as a nurse, and we often deal with or try to provide care for people struggling with mental illness, and they're often at their wit's end, or they just have a new onset of some symptoms like you're describing, and they just, you know, their world is falling apart. And we do certainly try our very best to provide them with professional help and medication and get them started on the track for some counseling and therapy. But what is so apparent is the absence of the hope of Christ. And Carmen, maybe you can just share more about that, about how the Lord met you. Maybe you can just share about what the counselor said to you.
Well, I had a non-Christian psychologist for a number of years. I think it was 4 years. And there came a point where she was moving her practice elsewhere, and I would no longer be her client. And as she was leaving, she said, you know, she didn't believe it. Like, she didn't believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. But, wow, this God stuff sure had worked for me.
She said that to you and your mom?
Yeah. Yeah, she said that.
This is a psychologist.
Yeah, a non-Christian. But she had seen the difference that it had made in my life and in the treatment that she was seen.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Man, I was crying out to God. Here's how God answered my prayer. And okay. Even in you saying that to that professional, I was saying, God, I want to see how you help people with mental illness. Because it's not something that I can necessarily go and help put a cast on or, you know, do CPR or whatever. But we need God's intervention, and
absolutely.
It's just so cool that the psychologist recognized that in your life. And Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life to the full. Mm-hmm. And one of the verses we were talking about earlier was, for I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And how has God used scripture in your life to help you with that, Carmen?
Well, I'd say scripture has been like a real part of the glue holding my life together when it was really falling apart. My mom was a lady of the word, absolutely, and she would always be telling me verses to comfort me when I was struggling. Mm. One she would often bring up is Isaiah 41:10. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be terrified, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So fear, terror. God addresses those things. Like, there's so many do not be afraid in the Bible. Scripture is loaded with them. And they're there for a reason, because God knew that we need them. Especially when you're dealing with mental illness, something that can be so scary. It's something that God can and does and wants to comfort us in.
Yeah.
And he does. He definitely does. He might not take it away from you, magically, not magically, but
might not heal you right away of that.
Yeah, he might not. Like, I definitely would have taken that.
Did you struggle with that? Like, questioning why you were experiencing that?
Yeah, I did. My mom, she would say, Carmen, what you're going through right now reminds me of Job. Hmm. And God didn't tell Job all the reasons why either. But God used it. And he used it powerfully. Anyone suffering, going through Job, they can just totally feel like they have a resounding board with Job, because his life sucked some many points. It sucked.
And yeah.
He didn't know why.
No.
Yeah, he didn't know why. We have the prologue of God and Satan talking, and Job didn't have that.
Right.
He just had all of a sudden, his Bam. Kids are dead, he's covered in sores, and he's lost everything. Like, he doesn't know why, but he's in scripture. And so are his God, so are his questionings of why God was doing this. And one thing that I've learned is asking why isn't always the best question to ask God. As to, he probably won't tell you at the point that you're asking him why, but he can show you how you can use what you've gone through to help other people. Mm-hmm. For me, it's given me a lot of sympathy towards people who are sick, who are struggling with anxiety.
And you must see that in some of the clients that you help in your job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it really gives people a safe place that they might feel awkward if you didn't have that safety about you, that you're like, it's okay. I know exactly what you're going through. Yeah. Most likely you're not as bad as I have been. So yeah, God can definitely use that. It's such a blessing, even just being on this. I believe that God is using this to comfort or encourage someone out there that really needs, who's struggling with maybe depression or anxiety or what have you, to show that, you know, you're not alone, that God hasn't abandoned you, even if it totally feels like it, because faith is not a feeling. Faith is a choice, and God is not a feeling. God is a reality.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a good, you talk about having a safe place to talk about it, and we sure want to provide that even on our Facebook page. If you can just search New Every Day, and I'll post some discussion questions, and maybe if you want to post your experience, and we invite you, Carmen, to comment on there if you like. just to create a space where we can talk about these issues. I think it's really good. Now, that being said, Carmen, what advice do you have for other Christians or, you know, church families, how to support people with mental illness, or even maybe if a family member is, well, how can we best support them?
Situation, it changes. It would depend on how severe the situation is, to be honest. If someone is a danger to themselves or to other people, I would definitely get help right away. That you can't deal with that on your own. You can't. I would say for people who are struggling with things very irrational thoughts or depression, it is very, very helpful not to try to fix the problem all the time. People try to be helpful and try to give solutions, and that is a good thing, but often what people need when they're in these dark places is someone just to listen and someone just to be there, like Job's friends before they open their mouths. Just to be there and to
be present,
sympathize, and not to abandon them, not let them feel like they're abandoned. Like, you might not be able to change a situation or fix whatever's going on in their minds, but you can be there for them and tell them that God's there for them as well. And that, I think, is a very, very powerful thing. Obviously, yes, medication, if that's what the doctor says that is going to help you, take it. There's no shame in that. Mm. You're not going to be ashamed for wearing glasses if you need glasses. Like, you look great in glasses.
Oh, thanks. And boy, is it a great world with them on.
But people can sometimes be ashamed of taking medication.
Sure.
And I went through that series, a part of that too, where I was like, I don't want
really,
to.
Oh, really? You just didn't want to?
No. Like, it felt kind of like I'm broken. It's like, I need to take medication because I'm broken. And it kind of came to a point where it's like, you know what? This is something that God has given me so I can live a full life, so I can have a chance to not stay in this place.
Right.
Like, there was a point in my life where my parents were afraid I'd never be able to have a job. Like, I might not ever be able to get married. And I presently have both of those things. Thank Jesus.
Yay, God.
But if that's something that God's going to use to help you get out of there, take it. That's one avenue that God can use to help.
Yeah.
And varies from situation to situation. I would say also, in the church, just to be candid. If you have a safe place or a people that you trust there, just be candid about it. And, like, you're not going to get any help if you hide it. Like, in college, I was going through a hard time, and I knew I was going through a hard time mentally, and I asked a friend, hey, can you make sure that I go down and eat meals? Because that's something that I would do. I would just not eat. I was in a bad place.
Yeah.
So she would knock on my door and say, hey, don't forget to eat. Want to come down to the dining hall with me? And she would do that. And that was a very loving, understanding thing that she would do, that she was happy to do it, but she wouldn't have done it if she didn't know that I needed it.
So you had to reach out there a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just be honest with that. And if you can find people like that, that you can just say, hey, can you call me to make sure that I'm not sleeping all day with the blinds down?
Yeah.
Because that's something that is, if you're going through a rough time, is often what people gravitate to. I'm just going to
sleep
in a dark cave, and it often doesn't work.
Right.
It's often like the worst thing for you. But maybe you just have a friend call up and say, hey, have you eaten today? Have you gotten out of bed today?
And that takes some courage for someone to reach out and actually say, I need you to do this for me. Yeah. And what I take away from that, Carmen, is I want to be the type of friend and, like, sister to someone, like, in the church family, that they know that they can come to me and ask that, and I'm not going to judge them for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, okay, if that's what you need, I want to be Christ to you. I want to be his hands and feet and just love so well.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we need to be praying that God shows us how to love other people well in specific ways, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And maybe it's to send a card like your friend did for you.
Yeah. It was very helpful. And obviously, God will lead you in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing what God can lead you to if you're open to him. And it's a beautiful thing when people, when you're helped, then you can help other people.
Yeah.
There's a verse, it's probably not perfect in my mind right now, but we comfort others with the comfort that we have received from Christ. So we are comforted and we comfort other people with the comfort that Christ has given to us. And sometimes that's through other people themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
It's often where you're like, Jesus, help me, please. And often a friend will come.
Yeah.
God often uses other people. Or your phone rings. And yes. Someone is calling just to say, hey, how are you doing? And it's a real, how are you doing?
Mm.
Not just a, tell me you're fine.
Yeah, because I really don't want to listen.
Yeah, so.
That's so true.
God often uses other people, and just to recognize that and to thank God for that.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So God took you through that and your teen years and then through college. And then maybe you can bring us up to speed with where you are now. So you met Joel. How did that happen? And then if you can tell us a little bit about, you know, the start of your marriage and what God did there for you.
Well, I met Joel at a youth group. We were both too old, really, to be hanging out there. He was 20. I was 19.
Okay.
I'd actually been sent home from college early for Christmas because I've been sick a bit mentally. But that's another story. Anyway, good things can come out of this. So
you met him?
I met my husband, and it was... It was just like, hey, how are you doing? And we were set up by a lovely lady that we both knew. And she knew that we both wanted a godly spouse. And she was like, hey. And
I know him and you.
It didn't hit off right away. I went back to college in Alberta. And he stayed in Ontario.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't see each other for like a year. And yeah, pretty much lost contact. We met again. And I had recently broken up with someone. That's another story. But we met again at a young adults group.
Oh, you graduated from youth group.
Yeah, graduated from youth group. And so I was there, and he realized that I was single again. And over the course of a little while, he started just to always be there. It's like we would go out for McDonald's after the young adults group, and he'd be sitting right next to me always for some reason. Anyway, we started to date or court, what have you. Dating with the purpose of marriage.
Okay. So,
whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
I obviously had to be honest with him about my mental illness. And
Now, how did he receive that?
He
had he had experience with anyone who struggled with that?
He had.
Really?
He'd had someone very close to him that who had had something, basically the same thing that I had had.
Wow.
And he had to deal with that for years. So he had, when I told him that I struggle with OCD, with anxiety, he knew exactly what I was talking about.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, okay, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's amazing.
So that was one thing that really made me think that this might actually be my husband. Because I always thought, okay, one, there's not too many Christian guys around, so slim pickings. If you're a Christian guy, it's no diss to you. It was just in my mind how I was thinking. Yeah. Two, I need a guy that's going to be able to deal with and accept me.
Yes.
And my specific struggles, and they're not always easy to deal with. So I was like, probably not going to happen.
Really?
Going to go be a single missionary somewhere. Whatever.
Okay.
Who cares? That was my 19-year-old plan.
Okay. But he could relate and
he absolutely
was
could.
Accepting, so...
He was accepting, and we decided, okay, we'll move forward. And we did. And we were very supportive. He was very supportive of me, and a good, very calm personality.
Mm-hmm.
If you struggle with anxiety or irrational thoughts, it's very nice to have a calm person around you who accepts you and can just kind of talk you down while accepting you.
Yeah.
It's very logical people, if they're not careful, can come across cold, and that can make you feel rejected if you're struggling with these things. But my husband, he's very logical, but he's also very warm. He's also very gentle and accepting.
Yeah. So
that was just the perfect mixture.
That's so good.
So
did you get engaged?
We got engaged.
Okay.
And, well, verbally, we were like, we wrote down our lists of what we want in a spouse. And we were like, yeah, okay.
Check, this
works. We should get married.
Awesome.
There was no ring involved yet, but we were like, yeah, we're getting married. And 2 weeks after we decided that, Joel called me up or Facebooked me. And he said, hey, the doctor found a baseball-sized lump in my lung. And they're going to screen it because it might be cancer. And
wow.
I was like, no way. Yeah, right. People always think it's cancer because people freak out, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yes.
And it turned out that it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a stage 2 Hodgkin's lymphoma pressing into his lung.
Wow.
And wrapping around his heart.
Wow.
So.
And he was what, 20?
He was 22 at the time.
Wow.
23, sorry.
And you were not yet married.
We were not yet married. We were not even officially engaged yet. We were just starting to plan our wedding.
Wow.
Which our parents thought was so, like, what are you guys doing? You're not even engaged yet. Anyway. So,
okay.
That was, like, November 1st that we found out that he had a lump. And then 2 weeks later, he started chemotherapy.
Just 2 weeks later?
It was amazingly fast. Like, the doctor came to his house that evening that she did the scan and found the lump.
Did a house call?
Like, I know. Like, I didn't even know that still happened.
They rarely do that.
Like, that it was absolutely fantastic. And she showed him the chest x-ray.
Right.
And it was like, yeah, there's a reason you're short of breath.
Okay.
Because he had been having breathing issues, and he was very lethargic and was falling asleep all the time. And they just thought he was out of shape. And he kept going back, being like, no, there's something wrong. And they finally did a chest x-ray. So that was scary. It was, there's something surreal about cancer. There's something very surreal about it, especially when you're 22 and 20 years old. You're like, are you kidding me?
I'm just about to start this new life together.
Yeah.
And then boom, this
it's like,
bomb drops.
Yeah, it was very stupid.
Wow.
But I honestly, somehow God supported us through that we weren't, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Like, I don't think I went through much anxiety at all.
Because
we knew that God was there, and we knew that he was supporting us, and it was just, we had a few rough spots, but overall, it was, God just really supported us through the people in our church, and through,
Like, in what way? Through the people of your church?
There were people that, you know, we're always asking, always praying. There was other people that had cancer. It's amazing how many people that you know have had cancer, but you don't know about it.
Really?
So they were saying, hey, I had cancer in my lung too. And I was like, really? No way.
So was that encouraging to see, hey, you know,
it's not a death sentence. Yeah. Like it wasn't like the end. Like cancer is survivable.
Hmm.
So he started chemotherapy and people were still very encouraging and supportive. But it still was quite stressful.
Sure. Was he quite sick with that?
Yeah, it was kind of like he slowly drained the life out of him.
Hmm.
It was a very sad thing to see, but
yeah. So hard for you to watch that.
It is, especially since when you love someone, you hate to see them sick.
Yeah.
But God supported us through it, and we decided, you know, we're still gonna plan a wedding. We're still gonna get married. He proposed to me with his hair falling out, but it was still good. He didn't lose his hair. I was so happy. He just got really thin. And it came back curly, and it's so cute now.
You're so cute.
Oh, it was
so good.
And it's really like, I was like, I lucked out. He's the cutest hair ever. It's nice. Anyway, I love you, Joel.
He proposed to you.
Proposed to me, and we decided we weren't sure how to plan a wedding. Like, he wasn't able to work. He had to take a year off from school.
Wow.
I was working, but we weren't sure even where we were going to live. Because I was living with my parents. He was living with his parents.
Right.
We weren't going to live in either of their basements, because that's just not a thing we want to swallow.
You wanted your own space?
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we continued on. We were like, okay, you know what? If God doesn't want this wedding to happen this year, then it won't.
Hmm.
It came to a point where we had to make a decision, and we just decided we're going for it.
Wow.
Because we weren't sure. It could have been his chemo might have been extended.
Okay, depending on the results and how he responded to it. Yeah,
okay. He could have been too sick.
Mm.
He might have needed another round of chemo, heaven forbid. But we decided we'd go for it anyway. And he finished his treatment 3 months before the wedding.
Wow.
So that was interesting. He had chemotherapy and radiation. And we decided, you know what, we're just going to do this wedding, make it as, if we can't afford something, we're not going to have it. And we just want to be married.
That's a good perspective, yeah.
And it was amazing, like, how God provided for us to have a beautiful wedding, even though we had almost no money.
Really?
The awesome. Photographer that we had was a Christian, and she heard our story. And after meeting with us once, she said, I want to give you this photography for free.
Wedding pictures.
Yeah, the wedding pictures for
free.
Wow. Which was like...
That's so expensive and wonderful.
I know. We were like, are you kidding me? Wow.
That's amazing.
The ladies at my church were like... We were planning on doing a potluck, and they were like, don't do a potluck. It'll be horrible.
Oh.
It'll be horrible organizing it. So they actually put on a reception dinner for us. They bought the beans in bulk and things like that.
No way!
So we were able to do that. We had one of his parents' friends let us use their cottage for our honeymoon. Because we were like, we're not going to probably do a honeymoon.
Yeah.
We were able to have one. And I got a secondhand dress that had never been worn before. It was
really?
Just a lady ordered it from overseas and she didn't like it. And
little did she know.
Little did she know she was buying it for me.
From God.
From God. So
cool.
It was like, I think I paid $200 towards it. My mom paid $200.
Oh my goodness.
And it was just like, it was not a say yes to the dress $18,000 thing. It was beautiful. You would never know that I got it. Super cheap. Anyway.
Amazing.
So
you had a beautiful wedding.
We had a beautiful
honeymoon
wedding.
And then you found a place to stay?
Yeah, like 3 months before the wedding, we were like praying, God, we need a place to stay. And we were about to go for this other place. And my mom was like, Carmen, you should look on Kijiji again. And she saw your brother's ad for wanting a Christian tenant. So she's like, have you seen this? I'm like, no, that wasn't there yesterday. So cool. We went there and looked at the place and we're like, yeah, this is amazing. And so I moved in 2 months before the wedding.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was great. Because we didn't know where we were going to live. There were so many things that were like, we'll get there when we get there.
And you just trusted God to take care of the details for you.
And he absolutely did. It was like,
that's so amazing, man.
Now when things happen and we're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? It's like, well, God's gotten us this far. Mm. He's probably not going to drop the ball now.
And, you know, along those lines, you mentioned to me earlier that when someone close to you gets a cancer diagnosis, your world shifts.
Yeah.
You still know that God cares for you, but your world still shifts. And so how did your perspective change? You use the words that God focuses you. What did you mean by that?
I would say that you stop taking things for granted so much.
Okay.
Like you stop. It kind of reminds you of your own mortality.
Sure.
And you focus more on, okay, life's not forever. Like, this isn't forever. So it really focuses you, I think, on things that are important. And it changes your priorities. I think some people can react very negatively to a cancer diagnosis. And that does happen, but I think the better way to do it is to take it. Yes, it sucks, but take it and just take God through it. Well, God will take you through it and he'll change you through it. And right now, you know, you can relate to people differently. Right. You see people differently, especially the people who have had cancer or who have experienced it, because you can relate to them in a way that a lot of people can't. So that's what I'd say the shift is. And yeah. Especially when you're young. You feel like you're going to live forever. And it's like, no, you can get cancer at 22.
You get a bit of a reality check.
Absolutely, a reality check. So now I see my husband and I'm like, I don't take him for granted. Because I'm like, I could have lost you before we were even married. So it's really a blessing to be married to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, our time on this earth is just a blink of an eye.
Absolutely.
Compared to eternity. You know, if you were to stretch out eternity, you would just be a little blip that would keep getting smaller and smaller in light of the life that's going to come after this with Christ. But still, when you're going through those things, it's right in your face, eh?
Yeah, but absolutely. Like, eternity is a long time. And life isn't,
but God promises to be there.
Absolutely. Even through the blip.
Even through the blip, whatever the blip entails. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're doing good.
And he's doing well. He's cancer free.
Yeah. Or? He just had his he's finished treatment for over a year, so he just had his last appointment about last week. And 6 months from now, he'll go back. So things are still good. So
thank you, God.
Yeah, thank God. But in my mind, it's that chapter is closed.
Yeah.
I figure I feed him, and I'll take good care of him, and he'll stay with me for a while, hopefully.
And are you a good cook?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good.
And he's a good eater.
Oh, perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, Carmen.
You're welcome.
I think it's so good to hear what God's done, how he's met you through different trials and good things and some perceivably bad things. But man, each struggle, I just see, you know, you have received Christ in your life. And now when you go through a struggle and get squeezed, it's Christ that comes out of you. It's another opportunity for you to manifest who he is. And even you in sharing this, it's just like, And you're saying, like, God is awesome, despite what you've gone through.
He is awesome.
You know, He is awesome. So cool.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for tuning in again. And for those who have been listening faithfully or watching faithfully, we want to thank you so much. And thank you to our partners. We've got some new partners, actually, who have joined us. You can go to our website, neweveryday.tv, and click on our partners link. You can go to Family Christian Stores. Actually, it's online Christian bookstore. You can also purchase lots of different Christian resources there. So go to our website. We encourage you to use our website to go to access our partners' links. Also, Kaspersky is antivirus and internet security, and you can get a free 30-day trial. So go to the link on our website, and you can get a free 30-day trial for antivirus software. Compliments of Kaspersky. So, and also thank you to Category 5 TV and to Robbie Ferguson, our director and producer, who makes this show what it is and makes the Bible verses pop up magically and does all that fun stuff. So thanks so much. So we hope you tune in next week. We've got another exciting episode coming up, and hope you have an awesome week.